Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
A Virginia trial court has dismissed Liberty Counsel's case against the Fairfax County School Board. We're going to appeal this case. We're going to talk about the issues here. This is a school board that defied Virginia law and amended its policies not once but twice, first to add sexual orientation and then to include gender identity, in direct conflict with Virginia's civil rights laws. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber to talk about this case. Matt, this is a case out of Fairfax County, Virginia, Northern Virginia, a very liberal, otherwise known county. This particular school board previously amended its policy to include sexual orientation as part of its so-called non-discrimination policy, and then later added gender identity, the broader, fluid kind of concept. Virginia has what's called the Dillon's Rule. Other states have similar kinds of rules, but the Dillon's Rule in Virginia means that the state sets the categories of non-discrimination, and therefore that's applicable for every local geographical body of government. Therefore, the city, the county, the school board cannot add to or take away from that Virginia classification, that category of non-discrimination. In this case, in direct contravention to that Virginia law, the school board added sexual orientation and then added gender identity. That's the lawsuit that we filed. But this judge ultimately dismissed the case, saying that there is no standing of the anonymous student that we represent, among others, Jack Doe, saying that he had not been, or Jack Doe had not been expelled or suspended, and therefore lacked standing to file suit. I think this is absolutely contrary to Virginia law, and that's why we're going to appeal.
Well, and you know, this was essentially a dismissal on a technicality. It sounds to me like the judge was looking to dismiss this case without getting to the merits, because clearly this is a winner on the merits. And this dismissal says effectively, and quoting Liberty Counsel's litigation counsel, Daniel Schmidt here, as Daniel says, minors in Fairfax County, Virginia will now be subjected to invasions of their privacy inside the very school district tasked with protecting them. Once again, the fundamental rights of minors were trampled by a lack of common sense and an appropriate understanding of biology. And this is just part and parcel of what we see with these absurd Orwellian gender identity laws and sexual orientation laws that effectively force, under penalty of law, everyone to engage in a delusion that a young boy can be a girl, that a young girl can be a boy, and that this young teenage boy should be able to shower biological male shower alongside young girls in public schools, and that everyone should be silenced and not be able to express a disagreement with that. And so, of course, this young man, Jack Doe, an anonymous Fairfax County student, of course he has standing here because he's being threatened with a potential suspension or expulsion for speaking truth about gender identity disorder and gender confusion and standing up perhaps in protecting his own right to privacy as well as the right of privacy to privacy of others.
Well, you can imagine these policies allow young children to pretend that they are something other than what they are, to pretend that they are a girl if, in fact, they're indisputably, biologically, physiologically a male. And as a result, one day go to school and just enter the women's restroom and begin to undress in front of the women. In fact, in the last week, in another place in the country, that's exactly what a young boy did. He went into the young girl's restroom and literally disrobed in front of them while some of these, actually it was a facility. It wasn't even a restroom, but the girls were changing clothes in there. Some of these girls were in various state of dress or undress. And this boy came in and just completely dropped all of his clothing in front of these girls, causing the girls to obviously be traumatized and shocked and fearful. And when they complained to the individuals, the school in that case, They were told they couldn't do anything about it because this boy had a right to go into the women's restroom, the girls' restroom, because he identifies as a girl. I mean, this is absolutely Orwellian in the fact that you're just making these kinds of stories up, but they're true. The absurdity of these individuals that would want to add gender identity to any ordinance or code is just mind-boggling because of the problems that these particular codes will cause. Now, also, teachers will be forced under this kind of a policy to teach in the middle of a semester a person by the name of Joey, and then that person comes to school the following week and now wants to be identified as Jane. And they're going to have to refer to that person as Jane or have to refer to that person by the personal pronoun she as opposed to he. I mean, it's just a fictitious situation that ultimately gives these young boys and girls the misinformation that they can change their identity, their gender, as easily as they can change makeup or change their clothes. And then what is next after that, you know, besides the privacy issues, besides the problems that it creates psychologically, is if they start to go down this road and then they want to go further and have medication such as testosterone if you're a female or estrogen if you're male and then go through plastic surgery, there are long-term physiological and emotional consequences to going down this path.
Well, and these laws and these regulations in school districts like the one in Fairfax County and elsewhere, they compel people against their will to lie. You have to lie. You have to pretend and that a boy is a girl or a girl. You have to call Joey Jane. Well, that's a lie. Joey is not Jane. No matter if he changes his name, if he has, this surgery, if he takes these dangerous hormones, Joey is going to always be Joey. He's always going to be a male. And to call him anything other than that is a lie. And you mentioned, Matt, these young girls that were traumatized, that were sexually harassed by this young boy. These laws are misogynist. They're anti-woman. As a father, I would be livid if a young teenage boy came in and disrobed in front of my daughters. I would demand that he be punished, suspended, punished for sexually harassing my daughters.
And you know what would happen in that situation, Matt, if your daughters complained and you complained? It wouldn't be the boy who's punished. It'd be your daughter that would be punished for complaining, for discriminating against someone who wants to pretend that they're someone or something that they're not.
For rightfully complaining about being sexually harassed here. And that's what this is. This codifies, these gender identity laws codify, legalize sexual harassment and penalize those who are the victim, those who are actually being harassed, traumatized, having their rights to privacy and invaded by a person of the opposite sex. And it's just absolutely insane. But that's where we are in the United States of America right now. That's where they are in Fairfax County. And schools around the country are starting to embrace these Orwellian regulations and laws, and something has got to be done to put an end to this insanity.
Well, we certainly are going to appeal this case. I know that eventually we will prevail. It's just going to be a longer process, but we will prevail. Continue to keep the case in your prayers. Also, we were successful recently in the city of Jacksonville, Florida. In that case, one of our attorneys, Roger Gannon, was actually on a committee to review this kind of thing for the city/county of Jacksonville, Florida. And ultimately, over almost a year, the city council decided to withdraw the proposal for gender identity. That's good news. Also, Palm Bay, Florida, that was defeated. Houston, of course, everyone remembers that last year. That was repealed by the citizens when it went to vote. So there are good things happening. We just need to maintain our vigilance. You know, back in 1980, Kirk and Madsen wrote the book After the Ball, and one of the things they mentioned was to advance this homosexual agenda, you need to bring forth people who look and act normal just like anyone else, but otherwise are gay and lesbian. You need to break down people's resistance. Then over time, once you got more of a foothold for sexual orientation laws, then you needed to bring out the transsexuals, the transgender kind of ordinances, because if you brought them out too early, people would reject it. That is what's happening now. These are being brought out and paraded around as normal. The fact of the matter is, however, I think more and more people are realizing the problems with these kinds of laws or ordinances, and they're hopefully waking up. Join us in our fight as we advance religious freedom, the sanctity of human life, and the family. You can go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. You can call us at 407-875-1776 or go to lc.org for more information or for your contribution to support this ministry.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.